This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Duncan joins us live in studio. He's a local realtor and a blogger who blogs and writes about local real estate and real estate issues. You can read his blog online at realcentralva.com. Jim Duncan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Now, you're just off a plane. You're literally just back to Virginia. Where were you?
I was in Chicago. I was talking to
cold and windy Chicago, or
it was cold and windy, and I was wearing flip flops because I have a cut on my toe, so I got some odd stares.
Oh God!
I was talking to the a group with the National Association of Realtors about ethics and real estate blogging and trying to bring them up to speed on the community that I write in.
Yeah,
live in.
Fantastic. Was there any like one big question you were getting?
Whether we should alter the code to specifically target blogging. And my argument was that the Realtor Code of Ethics is sound as it is.
Yeah.
We abide by a strict code of ethics that we have to be honest and open and present a true picture, and we don't need to say blogging and
you don't need a
message and all this other stuff.
It's you don't just, need an e-code of honor. You
no.
just need the code of honor and just stick to it.
I referenced my alma mater's code of honor. You know, don't lie, cheat, steal, nor tolerate those who do. And that's pretty simple.
Yeah, there you go. Jim Duncan blogs at realcentralva.com. Now, you were sitting here as Chris Callahan broke the news just a few moments ago that Albemarle County has voted to increase the property tax rate from 68 to 71. That's what they'll take to a public hearing on April 2nd, which promises to be a night of fireworks, I would imagine. A lot of people, and I honestly, and we were talking during the break before he came in, I find it puzzling that at a time when there's a serious economic downturn in our country, at a time when we have, you know, the highest personal debt, families are trying to, they have no savings, they're trying to figure out how to pay more for just the basic goods like gas and milk. We're all trying to figure out how to do with less, how to make do with less. And yet, to see a local government then raise your taxes at that time is puzzling.
It's astonishing. I mean, we're all, as you said, struggling. You know, there are foreclosures here and there, and people are buying milk occasionally. And when the government decides to try to get more money when the rest of us are doing with less, it's frustrating to hear that news.
Yeah, and then, you know, on the other side of the argument, it's incredibly frustrating for these folks in local government to try to figure out how to educate our kids with less and less dollars, and how to staff these rooms and get the books in the rooms, and how to put cops on the street. And so I'm sensitive to the frustration that they have as well.
It's multifaceted. I mean, you have the teachers who are commuting from Buckingham and Waynesboro over here, and you know, gas is going up for them too.
Yeah,
so it's
This is a hard time.
Interesting times.
So what are your thoughts about, speaking of these times and interesting times, your thoughts on the what you really specialize in is sort of the economics of real estate. And what do you think about what's going on? You were talking during the break how we see Wall Street coming in to bail out the housing market, and that's not really a free market approach, is it?
It's not. I mean, we are, again, interesting times. I think that as sad as it may be, that some foreclosures have to happen and the market does need to work things out. I mean, I've seen proposals out there saying, you know, just arbitrarily cut mortgages by some arbitrary amount. You know, if you're upside down on your mortgage, force the lenders to reduce the principal that you owe. And that just makes me feel like a fool for paying my mortgage on time all these many years.
Right, right.
So it's interesting, you know, to see what's happening. We don't have the problems here that we see nationwide. And when I was in Chicago, I was talking to people from other markets. And some markets are having, you know, one of them said that he was having, in somewhere in California, 30 to 50% of the market was foreclosures and short sales. And,
oh my gosh.
And we don't have that here. It's just not there.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating to watch other markets deal with it. And hopefully we can learn in the Charlottesville area and the East Coast how these other markets are dealing with it and address it quickly.
We're talking with local realtor and blogger Jim Duncan. You can keep up with him online at realcentralva.com. Jim, I was talking with another agent recently, and she was saying how, you know, we saw this huge boom in Central Virginia in our real estate market. And what's really happening now is it's not so much tanking as it's just not booming. So it's like back to normal. Would you describe it that way, or is it really sort of sliding down?
I think trying to define normal is a sliding scale. I don't think we know what normal is anymore. Properties are definitely selling. One of the things that I was looking at before I came is properties. I've seen several properties in the last 10 days come on and go under contract in 3 to 5 days.
That's great. That's like it was during the boom.
But they were reasonably priced and priced competitively with the market. You know, and some of those, one of those neighborhoods had 10 listings on the market, and this one came in and just undercut everything.
Yeah.
But it was well priced. So things are absolutely selling in our market, but I don't know what normal is right now. I mean, I look at the statistics from 2005 and compare them to 2008. And, you know, in February of 2005, we had 5 months of inventory. In February of 2008, we have 17 months. So it's,
gosh,
you know, it's hard. I don't know how to describe what normal is right now.
Yeah. So not a great time to sell, but a terrific time to buy.
Oh, it's a fantastic time to buy.
Because you really have your pick, and you can be pretty competitive on your bidding.
I mean, buyers right now who are well-qualified with a trustworthy, reputable lender who's not going under in 2 days, and if they don't have something to sell, they are in absolutely the power position. They can come in and make very strong offers on properties. And there are about a third of the properties in the Charlotte Albemarle market are vacant. So those vacant properties are ripe for a buyer to come in, especially a buyer who wants to come in and you know, live in it for 4 to 7 years and make a place a home and enjoy the intrinsic value of the property,
yeah,
rather than buy a house and look immediately to make a home equity line investment.
Right, which you're not really going to be doing anymore.
Right.
If you buy now, plan on staying there for a little bit.
Plan on,
ideally.
Exactly. Plan on living there and instead of trying to flip it in 18 months or 12 months.
Yeah, those days are gone for now, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but again, I saw one property, and there are always examples. I saw one property that came on, sold as a foreclosure, and within 30 days was back on the market for a significant increase in value with minimal effort and money put into it, and it sold or went under contract in 5-7 days. So stuff is definitely moving, but getting people to adjust their expectations is the challenge.
And what do you mean by that?
That they may have to look beyond what their neighbor sold their house for 9 months ago to find a price on their house. You know, look at what the active comps are, what properties have gone under contract, whether any have sold in the last 6 months, and price the house not based on what you think it's worth emotionally, but look at what your realtor hopefully was telling you is a professional valuation of the property.
Right. Should folks who are looking at selling, should they wait if they can? Is that a strategy that you would recommend right now?
It depends on the situation. I have some clients that I sold them a house last year, 2 years ago, and they were contemplating selling it. And they sent me an email today saying, things are going to work out. We're not moving. And that was the happiest thing I heard all day. Really, I mean, they're great clients, and I really, really like them. And I didn't want them to potentially look at a significant loss. So for some people, waiting it out, it may be the best approach.
Right, right. Jim Duncan, local realtor and blogger. He blogs at realcentralva.com. Jim, what do buyers need to know? Now, there's a lot of folks who are still flocking to move to Central Virginia. You say we got 17 months of inventory, so a lot of homes to pick from. And I guess one thing, if you do see a house that you like that's empty, you know you have a little bit more bargaining power than a house that's not empty, because you know somebody out there is either renting or is paying two mortgages, which is, an awful place to be in. So they might be a little bit more motivated if you find an empty house. And as you say, there's a whole lot of them around here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you need to do your due diligence on everything you do. You know, before you go out, figure out what your comfortable price range is. You know, talk to a good, reputable lender and get pre-approved so you know exactly what your comfortable price range is. I mean, not what the maximum you can afford. You know, factor in that some people have kids and you have to feed them occasionally.
Yeah, and is that with the way the market is now, we almost shouldn't be looking to stretch to buy. We almost should be looking to pull back a little bit, because home prices, what you might buy, you know, this year, 6-12 months from now, could be worth a lot less. I mean, that really could happen here?
I would say that could be worth less. I'm not sure I would say a lot less.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, for my clients who can qualify just on one income, that's a fabulous situation to be in, where if having the second income is really a bonus, you know, so if they can make it on just the one income, that's a fantastic thing.
Yeah.
So no, it's, you know, buying in this market is hard because it used to be you would look for you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bath homes, et cetera, and have 5 to 10 to choose from, and now you might have 40 to 50. So it's a much more thorough process to, from the way I work, is to eliminate areas as quickly as possible based on geography or schools or what have you.
Right. So when you talk about your due diligence, that's the best place to start is, you know, it's okay, you want to live in the Charlottesville area. Well, really start to pin that down. Think about if you got kids, think about schools.
Right.
Think about where your job is, your commute. What kind of amenities you're going to want close to your home.
Well, and commute becoming a bigger factor. I mean, gas and potentially going to $4 a gallon, that has a real impact on how much somebody can afford on their mortgage. So it's people are doing, I mean, my clients are doing more due diligence as far as narrow searches around where they work or where they want to be. And a lot more are saying that they'd like to be within walking distance of X. So you're seeing, a, hopefully in my mind, a shift towards more dense environments. So it's certainly an interesting time with lots of criteria you need to figure out, and it's not, it hasn't changed that much as far as how people are looking. It's just that there are a lot more factors and options.
Yeah. So what should buyers be thinking about when they look for an agent? Because it's different, right? There's agents out there who really specialize in marketing and selling a home. They know how to list. They know how to market. They really know how to have an open house. And then there are agents out there who really know how to negotiate a buy.
Right.
They know how to help buyers find what they're looking for.
I'm finding more and more of my clients are coming to me looking to interview me or looking to talk to me about exclusive buyer agents. And it could be the self-selecting nature of my blog bringing me people who are already educated about buyer agency and the fact that you have an agent looking out for your best interests. But I'm finding more and more are really concerned about having an advocate and a representative for them in their purchase process. So you want to make sure that that person, you know, it's hard to vet their honesty, but ask them, interview that agent as if you were hiring somebody to represent you in a $400,000 purchase.
Yeah, there you go. That's the way to think about it.
You know, I mean, it's, yeah. And one of the main questions I ask people to ask is, does that agent do dual agency where they represent theoretically both sides of the transaction? And that's one of my personal agendas is to eliminate dual agency because I think it, in many cases, it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to make sure that the agent knows the area, that they know the market, that they know the statistics, and that they're not just saying, well, I have a lockbox key and I can log into the MLS. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
So
doesn't necessarily make you really up to date about what's going on in that market.
Right.
Yeah. Allison and I have bought 3 homes, and I will tell you one of the best, I will just tell you this. We know from personal experience, it makes all the difference in the world who is sitting at that table representing you. Because
mm-hmm.
in one of those deals, we did not have good representation.
Mm-hmm.
We had somebody who just rolled over on everything. And just to our amazement, and it cost us money.
Well, I'm seeing my business, again, a lot of it's because of what I do and my writing, is shifting towards representation of clients. Because you really are there to manage a transaction and look out for their best interest and not to shove them into a home that they might not really want. You know, so it's looking out for the details and advocating and negotiating. And if through that negotiation process you have to walk away, and I've done this. I've advised people, say, you know what, walk away from the deal. That's kind of counter to my whole goal of getting a commission. But my goal is to earn clients and not to sell a house.
Let me ask you real quick, got about a minute left. When and Allison was asking me this earlier today, and I didn't really know how to answer it. When the Fed announces that they're moving rates, how does that affect the 30-year mortgage? Does that?
I think it's more a psychology thing than anything else,
yeah.
From my experience.
But when the Fed announces they're moving rates, they're not moving the rates on the 30-year fix.
Correct.
They're moving rates on short-term loans from like a bank wants
banks
to move
banks.
Money to another bank.
Right.
They're not. That's not. And sometimes that affects the 30-year fix. Sometimes it doesn't.
I think it ties back to the psychology of the consumer and the banks. If the Fed is perceived as doing something positive, that's going to shift rates more than anything else.
Right, right. Jim Duncan is a local realtor and a blogger. You can read his work and get in touch with him online at realcentralva.com. Jim, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.